Blog Talk.
American mythologist Joseph Campbell said, and I quote, "Follow your bliss. The heroic life is living the individual adventure." Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, October 27th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles. Thank you so much for joining us today. We love to hear from you, so please call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Those magic numbers are 347-857-2710. And you can also email us here at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. That's goodvibe, V-I-B-E, experience@gmail.com. So discovering your bliss, if that is one of our hot topics that we'll be discussing with my guest today. She's a best-selling author, renowned public speaker, and personal development expert. And her book, To Be or Not to Be, The Choice is Yours, uses practical step-by-step approaches to get you from where you are today to where you want to go in your life. So let's not waste any more time, and let's together take that major small step forward with my special guest, Barbara Hofmeister. Welcome, Barbara.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the nice introduction.
You're welcome. Well, it's all true, isn't it?
It is.
There you go. There you go. Enough said. You know, in reading some of your background, I came across something that was very interesting, and I'd like you to expound on it. I read that in 1978, a friend gave you a copy of Wayne Dyer's book, Erroneous Zones. And I'm curious how that book changed your life.
Well, it changed my life in as much as at the time I had very, very low self-esteem. And one of the things that I remember that I used to do, you know, people gave me a compliment or said something nice to me, and I just couldn't take it. I wasn't aware of it, you know, I wasn't aware how I was reacting to it, but whenever somebody said something nice, I thought, in most cases, that they were insulting me, you know, that they meant it different than they said it. And that had to do with my low self-esteem, that I couldn't believe that somebody would say something so nice to me. So immediately, I thought there has to be something behind that, you know, that's not really the truth, that's not really who I am. So I pushed it away. Or I even really got insulted, you know, and I reacted in not such a pleasant way. And I think my friend, sorry.
No, so you were telling us how this book changed your life, Wayne Dyer's book,
yes.
Erroneous.
And I think my friend noticed that, you know, the friend that gave me the book. So anyway, one day she gave me this book, and she said, I think you will like it. And I looked at it, and I turned it around, and on the back flap, I mean, this is in 1978, I don't know if the book still looks the same today, I still have that old one from those days, it's a bit tattered now, and on the back it says in big red letters, "What is wrong with you?" And if you
that was
have
a message.
If you have low self-esteem, that's the last thing you want, you know, that somebody gives you a book that says, "What's wrong with you?" Because you don't really want to admit that there's anything wrong with you. You don't even admit it to yourself. And this is how I felt when I saw the, you know, we all look at the back of the book because it normally has a summary of the book. And the title was What's Wrong With You? And I thought, oh, my God, you know, why does she give something like that to me? And I felt insulted, normal reaction in those days. So I put it on the bookshelf. I didn't want to read it. I didn't think it was for me because there wasn't anything wrong with me. A few months later, I had nothing else to read, and I picked up this book, and I started reading it. And I am so happy that I did. I'm really glad. Because when I read it, I realized, I mean, it was as if Dr. Dyer was talking directly to me. I thought, wow, I mean, he doesn't know me, so how come that he's written a book for me? And what I realized, and that was a big breakthrough there, I realized that I'm not alone. As he hadn't written the book for me, it never met me. So I thought, wow, I mean, there have to be other people out there on planet Earth that have similar challenges.
Right.
And this is why I got so interested in that book, and I studied it. I mean, it was my Bible for several years. I carried it around everywhere, and I opened it almost every day on some page, you know, just a random page. And I always found some answers. I always found something in there that spoke to me. And it started me on this journey of self-discovery, first of all, because, I mean, this is 33 years ago, and I still haven't stopped, you know. I mean, we are so complex and at the same time so simple that it's a never-ending journey, and it's so interesting. I really recommend everybody to start that journey because it's so interesting. It's so revealing. It's so, well, sometimes we hear things or we read things or we learn things about ourselves that we don't really want to hear.
But like you said, a friend recommended it to you, yet you pushed it away because you felt
mm-hmm.
there was nothing wrong with you,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote. And most people might also think, "What do I need to do? They're not in touch with their feelings, their unhappiness,
mm-hmm.
their challenges, so they push away an open door."
That is very true, and we often do that. You know, we don't see the opportunities that are there. We don't see the open doors because we are not ready for them. And I see that all the time in my coaching experience, you know. I see that very often. The people that actually finally approach you and ask you for help, that's different because they are ready to change. They really want a different life, you know. They realize that they became stuck and that they can't do it by themselves, and then they come to a coach or they buy books, you know, hoping that they will help them. And that was exactly what happened to me there. You know, that book definitely changed my life because it started me on this journey.
And obviously you wanted to impart your own sense of your journey and struggle. I know, I don't know if our listeners are aware of this, but you are a refugee from communist Germany, and so you had your own wall.
Oh, most definitely, yeah.
To break through.
Oh, definitely, because, you know, I always say I come from behind the Berlin Wall, but what I see all around me are people that build their own Berlin Walls, and they think, or the intention is, to build these layers of protection around them because they don't want to be hurt. So they think, if I don't show my vulnerability, then I won't get hurt. But exactly the opposite happens, unfortunately, that the more walls we build around ourselves and we think we're protecting ourselves, what really happens is that we imprison ourselves. You know, the more layers we have, the more we are imprisoned because the outside world can see through that fairly
right.
easily. Receptive people, and men quite often, have that reception. and they automatically touch the buttons, and those buttons just sort of make us explode or cry, or, you know, they touch the sore points that we have in our life.
So when people come to hear you speak, and your audiences have been quite numerous. I don't know how many thousands of people have been to your lectures to hear you. So once people come who are ready to change their lives, what do you think is the most common struggle or challenge people are facing today?
Well, one of the things that I notice, which comes very, very frequently, is overwhelm. And people ask me all the time, why don't you do a time management seminar? And sure, I can do that. You know, that's a fairly easy seminar to do, because it's such a common thing. And there's a lot of practical advice you can give people. But for me, a holistic approach is necessary. It's important that, first of all, you need to know where you want to go with your life. Because otherwise, the time management is not going to help very much, because time management has a lot of to do with prioritizing, you know, what is really important to you. But how can you prioritize if you don't know where you want to go? And that is one of the main issues that people have, that they put, you know, they put so much in their day and in their nights and in their weekends. They have lots of social activities, and they hardly ever give themselves space to breathe or space to just be with themselves, reflect a little bit on their life, what's working, what's not working, what makes me feel good, what do I really want, you know, what makes me happy, what am I passionate about. Most people don't take the time to reflect on these things, but we need to do that. I think it's absolutely essential. In my trainings, especially when I speak in front of a lot of people, you know, large crowds, I ask people, what do you want? It's always one of the first things I do. And hands go up, and in the very beginning, who knows what they want? And then most hands go up.
And no hands go up, or most hands go up?
No, most hands go up. And I ask people, okay, you know what you want? Yeah, I do. Okay, what do you want? Well, I want more happiness. I want more freedom. I want independence. Or one of the first things is always, I want more money. And I say, okay, that's easy. That's an easy one to solve. And they're like, well, it's not that easy. If it was easy, I would have more money. And I walk up to the person and I give them a dollar or whatever the local currency might be. I give them a small denomination of the local currency. And I say, okay, you got what you wanted. You can go home now. And they're like, what? I mean, it's just a dollar. With a dollar, I can't even buy myself a cup of coffee. I said, yeah, but that's the point. You say you know what you want, and you ask me for more money, and I give you more money because now you have a dollar more than you had 5 minutes ago, and you are not happy. Why is that?
Yeah, right, because money's not the answer.
Yeah, not only that, but they don't, you know, $1 is not the answer also. If money really is the objective, $1 is not going to solve it. So you've got to be really precise. You've got to know exactly what you want. And that, you know, in the film The Secret, they talk about how the law of attraction works, and it's ask, believe, receive. Well, they forgot the action part, which I think is vital. You know, we need to take action. We need to help the universe help us.
Right, so, and I think you, if people, let's face it, I don't know anyone that doesn't want enough money to be able to sustain their lives that's
mm-hmm.
comfortable. So if you take money out of the equation, what is it that you really want? You know, we want to be happy, sure. So what can you do to be happy? What is happiness? You know, happiness to you might be completely different for me.
Absolutely.
So that's an ambiguous term, and maybe you can also explain. You mentioned just briefly that people should just be, and that's part of the title of your book, the To Be book, and your To Be Success System, which I would love you to go into. But how would you describe, if someone says, "Gosh, what does that mean? I just need to be." What is your interpretation of that?
Well, just to be is to really unplug yourself from everything that keeps you busy, and with just being, I mean, for instance, you go for a walk in nature, you go for a walk in a forest or along a lake, or if you're at the seaside, you go for a walk along the beach early in the morning or in the evening when there's not that many people, where you can just be by yourself and with yourself. To be, for me, is to be with yourself. And to listen to yourself. How many people actually listen to their thoughts?
But I don't think people even know how to get in touch, or how to either get in touch with themselves or to know what that listening mechanism is. I mean, you could call it intuition. You could call it a little voice. You can call it a divine inspiration, whatever you want
mm-hmm.
to name it. That's the voice, and that voice is there to guide you and is right, I would say, almost 100% of the time. So
mm-hmm.
I remember taking a seminar that there's a woman in an apartment building that I lived in, how to tap into your intuition. And it was that little small voice. And it was so interesting, the steps that she provided to help us unlock the door to the door where that voice lives. And so now that when you heard the voice, you know, oh, okay. Because, you know, I'm sure you often hear people tell you stories about horrible things that happen to them, and
mm-hmm.
they might follow that up with, well, I don't know why these things always happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all make choices in our life, so you made a choice which led you down a path that led you to something.
Mm-hmm. And actually, the thing is, they say, yeah, it's easy for you to say that, you know, but for me, it's very difficult, my life, and then I get the whole story.
Right.
or part of the story, you know, and all the horrible stuff that's been happening. And I, you know, I need to do this job that I hate so much because I need to put food on the table and so on and so on. And that's all true. And I don't ask people to change overnight, and I don't ask, and I don't recommend that either. I don't ask people to totally turn their life around overnight and stop doing what they've been doing until now, you know, and do something totally different. No, that's not the point. But you need to become aware who you want to be. What is your passion? What do you really want? You know, you need to have a big picture. You need to have a clear direction in your life. And in my experience, 90 to 95% of people do not have that. And that is very unfortunate. And that is also because they don't listen to their intuition. They don't listen to their inner voice. But the inner voice is always there for everybody, you know, whether they are aware of it or not. And what I always try to do is help people become aware of that voice so that they hear also the negative self-talk, you know, all the yeah buts, the yeah, but you are too old. Yeah, I know you want to do that, but, you know, you don't have the right experience. And then they get all that negative self-talk, and they listen to it, even though they don't do it consciously, but they do listen to it. And also they listen very much to people, you know, to people around them. And quite often people do not support our ideas. If we have a new idea, we want to do something different, quite frequently our family, our friends, they will try to stop us. They will try to dissuade us so that we don't do that because it's new, it's different. And it's not that they don't believe in us or that they don't think that we can make it happen. It is mainly also an egoistic thing, not consciously, you know, they try to help us. But it's because they see a change happening and they see that you're trying to be different than you have been until now and you try to do something different than you have until now. And that scares them.
Yes, change is very scary for the changer as well as for the changee, those people in our lives that are there experiencing this change that we're going through.
Exactly, you know? And they want to keep us, you know, they love us. If they are people that are close to us, whether it's friends or family, they love us as they know us because that's what they know. So that means that's the comfort zone. And as soon as we try to do something new and something different, or we even have just different thoughts and different ideas maybe that we want to talk to our friends about, they sort of doubt and they say, oh, I don't really know if that would work, you know, and why, you know, I mean, if it's such a good idea, why hasn't somebody else already taken it up? And then we think about it and we think, yeah, maybe they're right. And maybe it's not such a good idea. And we stop. And quite often people just stop. You know, they have an idea, they take the first feeble step, you know, they put the toe in the water and the water is cold. Somebody says, oh, the water's cold, and we don't even put the toe in.
Well, you need courage to facilitate change. Mm-hmm. And I think fear probably is one of the most challenging concepts that people face all the time. It's the fear of doing it. It's if you do something that you really want, what are your parents going to think about you? What are your friends going to think?
Exactly.
And so you self-sabotage.
I mean, most of the things that are stopping us to really reach our dreams and to really live into what we want to be and who we want to be is fear. You know, it's just, it's worry. If I do this and it's different, and what if I fail? that would be really terrible and so embarrassing, you know, if people notice. Who cares, really? I mean, things happen all the time and people fail all the time. And failing, all it means, really, it's not a permanent thing. It's just something didn't work. And we could take the example of Emerson. They say that he failed 10,000 times before he finally invented the light bulb. And whether it's 10,000 or 1,000 times, he failed a lot of times.
Exactly. Well, I always like to look at it, there are steps that you take because failure can have such it's a negative connotation. But Jerry West, the former player for the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team, said something very interesting. He said, I missed 100% of the shots that I never took.
That is absolutely right. And that's a really good one. Because if we don't try it, we've already failed.
Exactly. You really have nothing to lose by taking a step forward and doing it, asking a question, coming to your seminars. You have nothing to lose at all. What you do lose is by not acting at all.
Absolutely. And that is really what I encourage people to do. I do local workshops, and I came home really just a few minutes before the show started. And normally, I mean, here it's already midnight, past midnight now. And normally we finish around 10, 10:30. I do that once a month, free of charge for the local community. And tonight it was very comfortable, you know, and we got talking, and there were some new people, and it felt very good. So I didn't look at the watch. I don't wear a watch anyway, so I didn't look what time it was. I just felt that it was getting late. But people were so comfortable, and they, you know, I noticed that they didn't really want to go home. You know, they want to expand on it because they felt in their comfort zone, even so we were talking about things that they've probably never thought about. And interesting is that some people, they come once or twice, and they block. As soon as it gets deep, as soon as it gets into things that make them feel uncomfortable, like one woman, for instance, she talks, you know, she always makes jokes about her husband and about their relationship. And when you make jokes about that, there is something happening there, you know, that's bothering that person. Otherwise, they wouldn't talk about it in such a way. So I try to help her that she can see, you know, what's not working for her. That maybe her husband can't even see it, and she probably doesn't want to look there. And you could see how she was blocking, you know, how she, when I got to that point, she said, no, everything's happy. We love each other, and everything's good, and no problems at all. And I said, well, I see you quite frequently, and she does my fingernails. And so, you know, we have an hour and a half to talk one-on-one whenever I'm there. And I'm always open to talk about this stuff, you know. And quite often she comes up with family stuff. And so I listen and I just ask some questions so that she can find her own answers and then she can realize what's going on. And now she's totally blocking that. You know, it was interesting. I was there 2 days ago. And
so what could you share with our listeners about a series of blocks that come up in our lives when we're attempting to change and go down a particular a path to achieve a specific goal? How can you give us some steps to tear down some of those walls?
Mm-hmm. Well, when people first of all, awareness is really the very first step. When you become aware that something is not working quite the way that you want it, then really take the time to look at that. Look at that situation. What's not working for you? And I always recommend that people write this stuff down, not just sort of think about it and not speak about it. They don't have to communicate with the other person to start with, but talk to themselves, you know, really become aware. Okay, this is not working for me. What exactly is not working for me? Why do I think it's not working? What would I want different? Why do I want it different? All these type of questions will give them some answers, but unfortunately, it might also give them some pain, you know, that they think, well, I've been in this relationship now for the last 17 years, and now it seems that it's never really worked properly.
right. Barbara, I think we've hit upon, obviously, a very important topic because we have a caller who's called in. So let's check in with our caller and see what they have to say. Hi, you're on the line with Barbara Hoffmeister. Who's this?
Hi, Lauren. Hi, Lauren. It's Cindy Goldenberg, big fan.
Oh, hi, Cindy. Welcome to the show.
Yes, yes. I love what Barbara is saying, and I really liked especially the whole concept. She hit a nerve that I think is so common, especially with women or mothers or people that take care of other people, is that feeling of being overwhelmed. And when it happens, because as much as we do our affirmations or goal setting or planning, Barbara, what is your advice when you get into that zone, that feeling of feeling overwhelmed or when that ego consciousness comes over?
Well, hi, Cindy. Well, first of all, the main thing is really to stop, you know, because we can't stop overwhelmed by working harder. That will not work. We cannot solve that. We need to really stop and look at it. What is overwhelming me? Exactly what is the problem that I see right now? It might not be the real problem, but let's start with that. What is overwhelming you? For instance, I came home once from the States. I did a tour there and spoke in several locations. I came home and I had 4,300 emails, unread emails in my inbox. And I felt totally overwhelmed.
As you should, Barbara.
Yeah. And I thought, when am I going to read all this stuff? You know, of course, there's a lot of newsletters and stuff you don't need to read necessarily. But I thought, when am I going to go through all of this? And I thought about it. I closed the account again. You know, I mean, I closed it down. And I thought about it for a couple of days. And I thought, how can I cope with that? And in the end, I decided I don't want to cope with it. You know? I just don't have the time for that kind of thing, you know. So I closed that account down, even though it's my main account, it's on all my business cards, and I thought, no, I need to close this down for a little while because this is totally getting me off track. And I don't want to spend the time, you know, time is very precious. It's something we can never get back. So what you do, it's not the perfect answer for that, but it is at least getting something off your back. Sometimes.
Yeah, but I like that because what you're really saying is you give yourself permission to look in a different direction and not just keep reacting to the same thing.
Well, Cindy, if I may ask, what do you feel that overwhelms you the most?
Well, I know that as a control freak and a creative person at the same time, and I get excited. I try to achieve and get, you know, a checklist of things done, but also feel a lot of times I know I'm consciously sending out that signal, and then it'll carry over into just, you know, like traffic or driving or doing things, and it's a habit where I will feel bad about myself for not finishing things, and it's what Barbara is saying, and I just wanted to see what her, you know, yes, to stop. It's a conscious effort to know what you're doing, and we all do it, and I don't blame myself when I do it. But I wanted to know her answer because that's a nice thing to say. I try to say, like, just by me being present in mind, I am enough, and I try to fill it with an affirmation to calm my act down. But I like that anecdote and story because, yeah, sometimes I get that way too, where I feel like I have to respond and nurture and react to other people's needs before my own, and to just say no, I give myself permission to say they're okay and I have to focus, redirect. You know, that was really a perfect answer.
But you said something really interesting, Cindy. It's what Barbara and I were talking about earlier. One of the things that prevent people from making the step towards a positive change in their life is listening to the negativity or judgment, criticism from people in their lives. So they're doing it.
Right.
They're not making the change because of, oh, my mother won't like me if I do pursue this path, or my friends think I'm not, what am I talking about? So Barbara's example of dealing with being overwhelmed is, look, I matter. I'm number one on my list. So I got to take care of me first so I can take care of everybody else.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that other people aren't taken care of. It just means in that moment you're not setting
Cindy, I hate to interrupt you.
Yeah.
But I want to give people Barbara's website where they can learn more
about her
at BarbaraHoffmeister.com. That's Hoffmeister, HOFMEISTER.com. Barbara, thank you so much for joining me today on the radio show. It's been enlightening. And our lovely caller, Cindy Goldenberg, thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts. And please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes when my guest will be culinary genius and event planner to the stars, Randy Furman. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. I'm going to leave you with Flight of the Monarchs by Keith Chagall. Thank you again, Barbara.
Well, thank you very much, Lauren. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.